This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, September 30th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Residents who live in mobile home parks owned by Impact Communities of Cedar Edge are making national news. The Delta County Independent has been reporting for months about Cherry Acres residents in Austin who complain of inadequate septic systems that only receive temporary fixes and cause raw sewage to back up into residents' homes. All this while Impact Communities raises rents to unsustainable levels. Owners Dave Reynolds and Frank Rolfe boast of being the sixth largest mobile home park company in the country. They also own and operate Mobile Home University, which teaches others to buy mobile home parks as investments. Last week, Tonight with John Oliver castigated the training course for its blatant lack of ethics. A pocket park on Main Street in Montrose is due for an upgrade. The Montrose Press reports city councilors last week approved a resolution to file for a CDOT grant. If approved, the grant would fund new benches, tables, and lighting. New ornamental fencing up to 6 feet tall would be added, gated on both ends for nighttime safety. The pocket park would also receive bike racks and murals. The city doesn't own the property, though, so city staff are in talks with San Juan Construction and Synergy One lenders to work out permission to use easements. DMEA owns most lights throughout the city, so an agreement needs to be reached with the electric cooperative to install dark sky lighting. The project wouldn't begin until next year. At a water infrastructure town hall hosted by the Glenwood Canyon Restoration Alliance, CDOT spokesperson Elise Thatcher updated stakeholders last week on Glenwood Canyon rehabilitation. The Post-Independent reports crews removed about 3,300 truckloads of debris from Interstate 70 and the canyon since heavy rains and mudslides closed it multiple times over the summer. Thatcher said maintenance work on I-70 continues at a steady pace, and CDOT's slated to have all lanes east and westbound open before Thanksgiving. The Forest Service also provided an update on Hanging Lake, which has reportedly returned to its brilliant blue color. And the Colorado Sun reports Congressmember Lauren Boebert, who secured her first term by just 6 percentage points, may benefit from new maps chosen by the Redistricting Commission. CD3 will lean even more Republican, now by 9 points, dropping Steamboat Springs and Lake County, while adding 3 conservative counties in southeast Colorado. At a town trustee work session Tuesday night, the next Paonia budget got its first pass. Kate Redmond reports.
The town of Paonia trustees on Tuesday night presented a draft of the 2022 budget. In a work session ahead of the regular bi-monthly meeting, salary increases for town staff and an increase in staff positions were part of that budget. Cindy Jones, finance officer, was not present at the meeting to answer questions by the board or the public. Some of the raises necessitate rate hikes in the public's water, sewer, and trash bill. The proposal before the board is to also add 3 positions, including an assistant for the administrator and another 2 public works positions. Because the town has to look ahead to the new year, these salary hikes are included in the budget preemptively. Here is an exchange between Trustee Bear and Administrator Ferguson about salary ranges as surveyed by the Colorado Municipal League.
Mayor, how can we talk about the salaries when we don't know what our incomes are going to be?
For clarification, this is not a discussion about salary increases. This is a review of the ranges that were updated based on CML by the Finance Committee, as well as a chart that shows what the salaries are currently, what the positions based on the ranges would be for new positions, and amounts that could be considered for increase to stay within the range and based on longevity, how long you've worked for the town, and your evaluations. Those numbers are not guaranteed wage increases. Any kind of adjustment to wages is based on review. We included wage increases last year that some staff did not receive.
One concern from the public is that wage increases mean rate hikes. Trustee Michelle Pattison addressed this when looking at the packet available to the public on the town's website. The majority of the administrative salaries come out of the enterprise funds, which is water, sewer, and trash.
Right now, just the administrative department alone, 79% of salary costs for the administrative department come out of our enterprise funds. And to me, that seems really out of balance. I would like to see those paid out of the general fund, because this is not water, sewer, trash cost, this is administration cost. So as an example, for the town administrator position, 92% of those wages are paid out of the enterprise fund. This may be a board, almost a philosophical decision maybe, but in my mind, the work that the administrator is doing related to the enterprise fund is not directly working on water, sewer, trash. It's supervision of that department, just like supervision of any other department.
The town of Paonia's 2022 budget is expected to pass with amendments by November. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
Grand Junction's hosting its first Friday art crawl tomorrow evening. One exhibit is special because it includes an artist and his apprentices. Again, Kate Redmond has the story.
Bill Wilson, a ceramicist living in Montrose, has an opening tomorrow at the Art Center of Western Colorado in Grand Junction called Passing It On, 49 Years of Ceramics. We had a conversation about decorative versus functional art.
The thing that I like about art is that it isn't necessarily beautiful. It's more about what is evoked from the viewer. The viewer gets to have their own interpretation of what we'll call art as compared to craft. When I see people, they talk about thinking of me as they have their morning coffee, and I stop and think of how many hands are wrapped around the work that I'm doing.
Wilson works with a unique glaze amongst ceramicists. It's called Shino and has its origins in 16th century Japan. It's always a surprise when ceramic pieces emerge from the kiln after firing, and Shino glazed pieces are no exception.
It has soda ash in it, which is a salt, and the salt, as it dries on the bisqueware, as the glaze dries, it grows these little crystals, and these little crystals melt at a specific point and capture the carbon that is floating through the kiln in a reduced firing, meaning it's basically capturing soot. And that soot either turns it golden or orange. And sometimes it even captures the crystals that you can see during the drying process. And it's also very difficult to achieve it. Not many potters deal with this glaze.
Wilson has focused on teaching other artists in an apprenticeship program. He has mentored nearly 40 people over the years in Montrose. Seven of them are exhibiting pieces in this show.
The apprenticeship program here and seeing people grow and deal with their healing that takes place as you work in a ceramic studio has just filled my life, you know, with joy and frustration and continues. To have all this come together now is pretty much a pinnacle of my career.
Passing It On opens tomorrow night in Grand Junction at the Arts Center of Western Colorado as part of their first Friday art crawl. The reception is 6:30 to 9 p.m. Because of COVID concerns, they do ask that you visit their website and reserve your free ticket. More information is at info@ggartscenter.org. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Support us during the fall pledge drive by calling 866-KVNF now or donating online at kvnf.org. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.